Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Getting married again after being widowed is a controversial topic. It's an interesting, complex decision. What's important is whether a new marriage is right for everyone. It's a new world out there, and the reasons why people hurried to get married again years ago after losing a spouse or divorce do not necessarily apply today. Let's have this discussion. Susan, how complicated is a marriage after you lose a husband or a wife?
I think it's the most complicated of the marriage decisions. When you're young and you're looking for a couple, you have your whole life in front of you. Oftentimes you're looking to make a family and a new, brand new life. When you're divorced, you're probably looking to succeed again at something that did not succeed. But when you are widowed, when you've lost a spouse, you aren't necessarily looking to replicate. You're not necessarily looking to succeed again. You were left. It wasn't a failed marriage. So there's a complication of starting again and replication. And how do you want to move forward in this next chapter? So I think it's very complicated.
I think that's very profound. What are the pros and cons of getting remarried?
The pros and cons of getting remarried in widowhood with a loss, again, are very difficult from other circumstances. So there are people that want 24/7 companionship, that want to go to sleep next to someone and wake up next to someone and run their errands with someone and always be in a relationship. There are people that want independence and sometimes newly found independence that came with losing a spouse. And there's people that want a mixture of the two, that love the self-realized independence, but love companionship as well. So there's many variables here that make a pro or a con. The one thing that I think is really valid is it doesn't take a ring or a piece of paper or a legal document or a ceremony to make you committed. So there's a separation there between a committed relationship or companionship, as I refer to it, and a legal document of marriage. So I think it all comes from your predisposition of how you foresee your life going forward and what your necessities are to live comfortably in that relationship.
That's a lot to learn. I'm worried about those that just jump in it because they're so miserable. So what you have to say is really important.
Jumping in because they're miserable is your view from the outside in. They may jump in because that's the condition they're most comfortable in. It is a couple's world, Lois. No doubt about that. And when I have had the opportunity to be alone on a weekend, let's say, because I am in a relationship, and I realize that, well, I'm not a couple this weekend, and if I'm not with another couple or family that will accept me singly, I am drifting out there alone. So you foresee people as being miserable. Again, that's a judgment, and they're not necessarily jumping in because of what you see. They're jumping in because they want to be in a situation that they want to be in. That goes along with you can't walk in their shoes. You can't judge how they feel because you're not there. I would never condemn someone who wants to marry right away, ever, even though that isn't necessarily my predisposition.
Well, that's certainly a new way to think about it. I'm glad you shared that with me. Is it men or women who push to get remarried?
I really like this question because when I was younger and I heard about the widows and the widows of Florida and the widow casserole who goes over to the widower's house the minute that their wife dies and they bring them tuna casserole and they jump into this role of wanting to be the next Mrs. Whoever, I laugh at that because I don't think that's really true. I think in the very aged out population of being widowed older, there become less men. That's a fact because of mortality in this country. So maybe it's a little bit more valid there in your 80s, but as a younger widow, widowed at 59, 60, I find that in the men I dated, that men are more apt to want to get married. And I found that because women are caretakers and men are taken care of. And that's not to diminish anybody's role. Men oftentimes are the primary breadwinners in my generation, and women had jobs or were stay-at-home mothers and were wives who kept homes and cooked and did laundry. Many men who are widowed don't know how to turn on a washing machine, don't know how to cook a meal, don't know what to do with a stove. So getting back into the marriage phenomenon is more comfortable for them. If I quizzed most women that I know and asked, would you remarry if something happened to your spouse? They would immediately say no, but not because it wasn't a good marriage, Susan, because I don't know that I have the need to be remarried, to jump back into that role. And I understand that. So I'm going to go with, I think men like the marriage role, being taken care of, someone to do the things that women do for them. And women in this new modern age are a little bit more enlightened and like their independence coupled with a companion. I put a lot of thought into those.
Right. And to me, listening to your answer, it's a little scary that someone would marry me for those skills, because I don't have any of them.
So, have other skills, though, Lois.
No, I mean, I can't. I mean, if somebody asked me to pass a glass of water, I would pass out. So I don't know. I mean, it also scares me, even if I had those skills, that would be the reason why somebody would want to be in a relationship other than what he could do for me.
Wait, let me also say that I gave you very physical reasons. There's also the mental part that I didn't address, and that is that wives, women, are wonderful sounding boards. And in my generation, again, we've also spent a good part of our time advising our husbands, listening to our husbands. I read this whole philosophy how we're kind of like middle management in that world because we've garnered so much knowledge from letting our husbands use us as sounding boards and as advisors on a positive note. So men who I feel don't develop the friendships that women do throughout life in my generation need their wives for that purpose. Women tend to go to female friends and use them as sounding boards and advice and advisors. Men have traditionally used their wives in good relationships and don't necessarily cultivate the friendships with men to use as sounding boards. So there's a mental component to this as well as the physicality of keeping home and cooking and being that person for them also. So that I appreciate you brought that up. There's a mental aspect. Men don't make friends as easily, don't carry the quantity and quality of friendships that women do, and need women more for that role, that advisory role. So that's a big piece too, and kudos to women for taking that role.
It's amazing that you're telling me all this, because in my world, I would not want to be with someone who only wanted to be with me, whether it was a committed relationship or a marriage, because we liked doing the same things. We liked having the same conversations. We liked watching the same TV shows. We liked hanging out with the same people. We liked to travel. We liked to read similar books or discuss them. Nothing that you mentioned would ever be my criteria.
Really?
I find it very, very different for myself. No, I would never. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I don't know. Sometimes I think being in business for so many years has put me in a different level than everyone else, or maybe, and even business women that I speak to, you know, kind of like are insecure in a certain way that they would agree with what you said rather than where I come into the factor. I don't know. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe living with Elliot, it's a whole different thing. But anyway, do relationships change with marriage? That's an interesting point.
Maybe you should answer that. I've been married once for 38 years. In my estimation, it was a magnificent relationship. My children's friends called it aspirational marriage. It was magnificent. Have not embarked on a second marriage. In relationships, are they different? The core values are there. You know, for instance, today, my friend is here and we're working side by side, and I really love that. It is a little bit, it blends itself to a very equality situation because you're taking the caretaking of children out of the equation and sometimes the domestic activity out of the equation. But I have not experienced second marriage, so I cannot answer that question. You have experienced second marriage, so maybe you can answer it.
So you really want me to answer it?
I don't know. Do you really want to?
I'm not afraid of the question. I just think that I'm so different than other people. I think you're different than other people. Now I'm, you know, I just reminded myself that I'm different than other people. I do think that, you know, a certificate relaxes people and they're not as concerned about losing someone, you know, if there is a an official marriage. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's total nonsense, but that's the way, you know, I feel people, you know, I just see a difference, you know, people, as we discussed in a lot of other sexual ways, people get relaxed and they don't, you know, they just are not as concerned as pleasing the other people, you know, the companion as they were before that line was dotted. That's all I could say. And anybody else that listens to this, you're forewarned. That's all.
But I think that we should look at modern society and that we as women are more modern today. And we can take a cue from our children who live with, you know, significant others, all don't marry, and they're committed. I believe that it doesn't take a piece of paper and it doesn't take a ring and it doesn't take a legal document. That if I am committed to you, I am committed to you. If I'm going to go south, you're going to know it. And then there's something inherently wrong with our relationship anyway. So I don't believe at this stage of the game that it requires a piece of paper or a legal document or a ring to make one committed or to make one honest and truthful and transparent in a relationship. I think that's who you are. People with marriage certificates and rings cheat.
Right.
People without marriage certificates and rings have fidelity. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive to either side. So I think lesson learned in this is in modern day that it doesn't necessarily take the legality to make you committed or to make you care or to make you a good companion.
Well, then I think we were both saying the same thing.
Yes. Well, no. Yeah. You're saying that people feel, though, that it takes a legal document to make them committed and to hold on
right.
to them.
Yes, and I agree with your analysis. Yes.
Right. I think it's nonsense that that's old, antiquated thinking, and that if that's what it takes for you to hold on to your companion, then there's something inherently wrong with your relationship. There should be enough trust and enough commitment, particularly at this age, that you trust and are committed to them without the ring and the marriage certificate.
100%. Why don't widows and widowers or divorced people just stay boyfriend and girlfriend forever? Didn't they have enough of marriage? That's what I meant to say.
You know what? That's what makes a horse race. Some people, some women, some men enjoy that role, whether it's replicating what they had or making a new relationship. They enjoy the role of marriage, husband and wife. They like the commitment. They like being Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, and they want that traditional union. That's great for them. Some people in this new embarking on a voyage feel that they want to be new and different and maybe more self-realized and independent. And they will continue with a relationship or companionship, but have it on different terms. For me, newness, going somewhere else, having something else is better for me. I don't want to replicate what I had. I don't think I can. So I think that we are all steeped in values, and in a traditional, you know, American household, you get into a loving relationship, you make a commitment, and you get married. That is the norm. I think I fall a little bit outside the norm.
Having said that, I want to challenge you with another thought. As you were speaking, I thought about this. Your companion, or whatever, however you want to label the person in your life, may get a certain joy, a certain euphoria of saying, I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Susan. And that sentence alone has nothing necessarily to do with everything you just said. Would you deny that to that other person that you love dearly?
Wow, you're taking me to the wall, aren't you? Yes.
Because, you know, I'm pretty much a selfish person. I mean, I'll give everything that anybody needs, but when I want something, I want something. But when I hear somebody say something like that, I often think, if that's what I have to do, you know, I mean, I'll do, that's the giving part of me. But the selfish part of me would keep it the way you're saying. But there may be such a life joy in that, like, you know, and any man that meets you might want to say when they look at you, because the way you look, the way you speak, the way you respond, the way you act in life, and your goals and your journey and your interests, they may just want to say, you know, hey, look at me. That's my wife, Susan.
My therapist early on, who I'm a big believer in that, and thank you to my daughter, Elizabeth, for forcing me to do that, said to me that one person's problem or issue is not yours, and don't make it yours. So if that is the goal of someone else, I am really compromising who I am to make it my goal. I'm sorry for that. I mean, if you want me to wear green pants on Tuesday, I'll compromise on that. You know, you want me to not say a particular word because it offends you, I'll do that. But compromising my purpose in marriage and someone else's because it will make them infinitely happier is a very difficult pill to swallow. I need to do what's right for Susan first, as long as that's what's right isn't hurting anybody. And I think that you can get the same, I think you can get the same satisfaction as saying, this is my companion, this is my friend, this is my partner, as you can say, this is my wife. I think that's antiquated.
It is.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
for me,
it is antiquated, but after you've been with a person for many, and by the way, I totally agree. I don't believe in getting married again after a certain age. It's crazy, and maybe
unless it works for you.
Yeah,
for me,
it would be I could want to exit, and I don't want the complication of it. I don't want the financial mixture of funds and stuff like that, and a million other things, but. But there is one issue that we haven't discussed that is super important as we get older. You are going out with someone, I'm giving you an example. You're going out with someone for a number of years and that person gets ill. If you are not married to that person, chances are you'll have no authority over when that person is admitted to a hospital, you know, who the doctors talk to, decisions that have to be made, and visiting rights. So that's another thing to consider. So I don't even need you to comment on
it. Well, I'm going to, because this is something we've discussed in the past. Use your words. If you are in a committed relationship, then they become your proxy. Then they become that person. You can make that happen legally. You can make that happen emotionally. Use your words. Anticipate those things and make them happen. It's all doable. It doesn't have to be by husband and wife. The only way it gets sticky is like healthcare, and that becomes, you know, why gay marriage is such a controversy. Things like that. You won't get your husband's healthcare, but then as you age into the Medicare years, it's not relevant anyway. So I don't necessarily agree with you on that count. I agree with you on the financial part, and we've discussed this in a previous podcast, that if you are companions and he owns the apartment and he dies and he hasn't left it to you and his children kick you out, you didn't make the plans you need to make. As a married couple, you need to make a will. As a married couple, you need to do responsible things to put things in place to make life easier as you age. Do the same thing in a companionship relationship. There's really very few laws other than healthcare that I know of that will stop you. You can change your will. You can change your health proxy. You can do anything you want to make it work. Just do it. Don't ignore it.
Right.
So I don't agree with you on that count. It can all be done.
I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a trusting person. I don't trust, you know, situations like that. When you go into a hospital, if you're not married, they can come up and, oh, so that's the agreement you have. Okay, you get between 10 and 11, you know, o'clock to come
yeah,
visit.
Yeah, I get it.
Only certain doctors will talk to, you know, the proxy people or the executor of that. I go crazy about that stuff because I don't trust the world. But that's just a side issue.
I suppose. Yeah.
Are widows and widowers so upset about being left and or deserted alone that most of them need another legal relationship? Where does that come into the factor?
That's very insightful, because widows and widowers were left. They didn't leave the relationship. They didn't ask for it to happen. They were left. And there is a sense of desertion, I think. I think that's very insightful. I never thought of it that way. And maybe to hedge the bet of being left again, you feel that there is a legal commitment that could very well enter into the psyche of why certain people want to get married. And that's very, very smart. My comment to you is explore that with your therapist, because it's conflating situations. It's conflating the idea of desertion with the need to get married, and they're not necessarily parallel. So it's a very valid emotion, and I'm going to totally validate your question. It's not how I feel. So I would say that you need to deal with that emotion and not pass it off to, that's why I want to get married. But it's very valid. I am sure desertion or being left has a lot to do with it.
So that's interesting that you say that. And as you're speaking, I want to flip the question. What about those that don't want to get married? And I'm not saying it's you, but there's plenty of people out there that are just very concerned about being left again.
And don't want to be married?
Right. And they don't want
to. But if you are concerned about that, then you would get married. I don't think there are people that are steeped in desertion feelings who don't want to get married.
No, I'm
they
saying
go together.
There are people that are superstitious and say, I'm not going to marry you because I just can't go through, you know, losing somebody legally again. Let's just stay friends. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into any of the complications of marriage that will ruin the relationship. We're having a great time. Let's go 30 years together like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's valid. And I know that there are people that, and I may have been one of them for a while, that hid behind, I can't get into a relationship. I can't love again because I can't be hurt again. And I think that I hid behind that wall for quite a while until I realized that I'm hiding, and hiding is not healthy.
Right.
So if it's the inverse, it is. I mean, you can't deny people how they feel. If they feel that way, then they pursue how they go. In my feeling of not particularly, and I will also let it be known, I will tell you now, and I've said this before, that how I feel is how I feel in the moment today.
Right.
Today, I don't feel the necessity to get married. I'm enjoying my relationship and my independence simultaneously. In 5 years, will I feel I want to get married? Maybe. And that's my prerogative to change my mind. I am not a proponent here carrying a banner saying, don't ever get remarried. I'm saying in the moment, in the time, for me, this is how I feel today. Might feel different in 5 years, might feel different in 10 years. With any luck, might feel different in 15 years. So this is just in the moment. Will I want to move in with someone in 2 years? Maybe. Will I not want to? I don't know.
Right.
But I, after what I've endured and the losses I have felt that were unexpected, I need to take it a day at a time in the near future and not plan far out, because that didn't work for me. My far out plans got shattered. So I am living in the moment ahead, but not 10 years down the road. So if you want to be with me and you think that this is a good ride and you love the journey, then stay with me. But if your game plan is I have to be married in a year, I can never, ever commit to that. And that's just emotion. You know, I think that one should ride the wave and play life as it comes, because most widows and widowers feel like they were a little burned. So let's see how it goes.
So the natural next question, the natural next question then for you would be, do widows and widowers feel a new marriage will give them a second chance on life?
I think absolutely. I think that those people that get remarried feel that they are embarking on a second chance. But why is not being in a committed relationship embarking on a second chance?
Right.
What's the difference? It's just formality in my eyes. I don't understand. If you are in a committed relationship with someone and you two are invited as Mrs. Susan Warner and friend or Mrs. Susan Warner and guest, and then one day it appears to be Mrs. Susan Warner and someone else's name, and that has started to happen to me. It's not and guest and friend anymore. They are addressing the person that I'm with.
Right.
What's the difference? I can't imagine not ever being Mrs. Susan Warner. It is my identity. It is who I am. So to me, yeah, every relationship that I've been in is a second chance. I don't know why it has to be defined by a ring and a piece of paper.
You certainly are progressive, Mrs. Susan Warner. What role do financials play into getting married and the remarriage decision?
Well, aren't you addressing the 800-pound elephant in the room?
Right.
That is the 800-pound elephant. For the women and men who are not financially secure, who are left in a very difficult situation, marriage can be a very important alternative. They need to better live, in their eyes, a commingling of funds or someone else's financial being will make their life much better. So I understand that. You know, for whatever man or woman decides to marry because the finances, look, not maintaining two addresses, commingling of finances, having someone share the expenses with you, let alone if that other person is actually just much more wealthy. That's incredibly valid. And as long as both people know that both sides are in it, I have more money, you have less, whatever the relationship is, I'm going to be the person that supports us, or we are going to co-support each other. Good for you. That's a very valid reason. Very valid. I know there are a lot of tax laws, and there are laws about nursing homes that I heard from a friend of mine with a parent that are much more advantageous if you are or not married. I don't remember which way it went. So societally, we have laws that dictate which is better. I know of a couple that lived together for 30 years. Someone just told me the story. And he's in his late 80s and she's, I think, in her late 70s. They've been together forever. And he asked her to marry her recently. And she said yes, because he feels in his late 80s that he wants her to be the person that will inherit and make the finances much easier for her as if he passes first. And they decided to finally do it purely for financial reasons. And in his case, it was incredibly altruistic. And she finally consented because it will be better in her life, and she is 10 years his junior. So there are tax laws and reasons to do it. I'm not terribly familiar with them, so I can't speak as an authority. But if that is your end goal and everybody's honest about it, up front, you know what it entails, then sure, I'm not judging you. I'm not judging anybody who gets remarried. Good for them. Mm-hmm. Just what's right for me and what's right for other people.
And I would say, what took him so long?
No, she wouldn't marry. It wasn't him. She wouldn't marry.
Right.
It was she was holding out. It was not him. And
finally
he convinced her and said, please do this. And yeah, it was very sweet. It was very sweet.
Well, it certainly is. So do mature people really have the patience for a new permanent partner? Wow, that's a mouthful.
I'm giggling.
Yeah.
Are our patience shorter because we have a newfound independence? Are we seeing things clearer because we are distancing ourselves from our own marriages and being able to see into other people's marriages because we're not married and maybe we see things clearer? Yes. Do we have less patience? Probably. That's a very personal question.
Yeah, but that's also, but it also comes with maturity. I mean, you know, you get older, you start to understand life better. You don't have the same desires when you were 20. It's a whole different situation. And yes, you could, you know, and I would think that most mature people would lose patience. They don't want to deal. They want an aggravation, you know, free, peaceful life.
But love and companionship and a warm body and a person there to support you and someone to tell you they love you and that you're beautiful and on your worst day is very compelling. So we can't reduce this to annoyance, because if you have matured through the process and you know what you value, the annoyances are secondary. Also, in a second relationship where there aren't children living in the house and responsibilities are probably a little bit less, you have the freedom to walk away for a period of time if it's just a minute or an hour or a day or a week. So that makes it easier too. Less at stake in the family unit. So I think that it's in conclusion, weighing all out the factors of having a companion, having someone to love you, having someone to care about you, caring about someone, weighs against annoyances. And I don't think annoyances will ever win. I think love wins out. And I hope that love wins out. I guess I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic.
I vote for you too.
let me put it
that way, but I'm certainly a little bit more skeptical.
Hard edge.
About the whole thing. You know, just, okay. You know. But that was beautiful. This has really been a beautiful podcast. And thank you so much. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye, Lois.